Today on Real Life Radio.
You need to use your mind, engage it, look around and understand that God's evidence is everywhere and I no longer need to be ignorant about the very existence of God. I can apply my mind to the evidence and come to the understanding that all things scream of a great designer, a great engineer.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, let me tell you about our current featured resource. It's a book by J.I. Packer called Knowing God. A lot of us long for a deeper relationship with God, and Packer really has the rare ability to deal with profound spiritual truths in a way that emphasizes the importance of reverence and obedience in our daily walk of faith. So pick up your copy of Knowing God for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series on the Gospel of Luke with a message titled, The Ever-Present Argument of God, Part 2. You know, the Gospel of Luke series is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, could really do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 19, we'll consider how the death of Jesus on the cross was really all part of God's plan. You see, God does not want us to be ignorant about the cross. People have all kinds of ideas about their existence and why they're here on earth, that we're either a random accident or they have no idea where they came from. But God has made it clear through His Word, the Bible, that we are His creation and we're all part of His plan. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that we have a soul and a spirit, but sin has separated us from God. It's why Jesus and the cross are necessary to bring us back to our purpose and our reason for living. Now, with his message called The Ever-Present Argument of God, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
As you well know by now, Jesus is approaching the cross in Luke's Gospel 19. And in verses 28 to 48, I don't think I need to read it all again, but in verses 28 to 48, you know that Jesus is now descending the Mount of Olives and he's approaching Jerusalem on what is called a Palm Sunday week. And I reminded you last time that as we looked at it, having just come out of the holidays, Palm Sunday being one of them, that we were going to build upon our message that we brought to you from the very Kidron Valley in Israel, where we were standing there, that you would look to that message from a couple of weeks ago, and that we would use this opportunity to look at verses 45 to 48. So I want you to mark those verses in your Bible. It's a good paragraph of scripture because we've used that portion, specifically verse 47, where it says, and he, Jesus, was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy or to kill him. And they were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear Jesus, that is to hear his teaching. And that statement there, those two words, teaching daily, is an opportunity for us in verse 47 to launch out on what we're calling the ever-present argument of God. And so last time we looked at point one, and it's this. It was, what is man's condition in this life? And there's three things that we looked at, if you remember that. What is man's condition in this life regarding specifically the fact, listen everyone, that Jesus was going to the cross. He was going to the cross, and he had an appointment with the cross. The cross was not an accident. The cross was not the murder of Jesus. The cross was not some sort of an interruption to God's plan. Church, the cross was God's plan. From the moment Christ came into the world, in fact, before that, the book of Ephesians chapter 1 teaches us that before the foundations of the world were ever laid, God knew there in Ephesians 1, announcing to us that Christ would come with an appointment, and that appointment was the cross, that the baby born in Bethlehem was to die on the cross in Jerusalem. And so man's condition is a very, very serious condition that would bring about the fact that on the cross, God would die. That's exactly what the Bible says. The scripture says that Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead revealed in bodily form. This is Jesus. I love, and you know I love to say this, that God is not a human, but he took on the form of a human in Jesus Christ coming into this world because he paid the price to set each of us free by going to that cross. And we looked at three things that's absolutely vital. What is man's condition? You see, this morning, the cross is either an offense to you or the cross is where your hope connects with God. Amen. It's either confusion to you or it's comfort to you. And we looked at these three things. Number one, what is man's condition? Is man's condition one of ignorance? Well, we talked about the man without the cross says it is. Says that without the cross, I don't need to know anything. The cross is not important. I live and let live. I'm here and I'm going to live my life and I'm going to die. And maybe everything will work out for me in the end. And we talked about how that is a form of ignorance. Now, I understand something. I use the word agnostic in describing the word ignoramus. And that is true. Do you remember that? And that didn't sit well with some people. But it's an absolute truth. If you're sitting here this morning saying there's no way he's going to repeat that, right? I'm repeating it because I want you to ignore what I'm saying. And I want you to go see that God does not want us to dwell in a state of ignorance because ignorance can be fixed. Ignorance is not knowing what can be known. Thus, an agnostic says, well, there could be a God out there. Remember, we taught on this. There could be a God out there, but I'm not going to take the time to get to know him. An agnostic confesses there could be a God, but I'm going to willfully be ignorant of getting to know him. An atheist cries out, there can't be a God. There is no God. I sure hope there is no God. An agnostic says, there's probably a God, but I'm not going to take the time to get to know him. That's dwelling in ignorance. Okay, it's kind of like if your car has no battery in it, you know it has no battery in it. So for you to go out to start your car is a futile exercise, but in your garage, you know, is a battery. What do you need to do? You need to connect the battery to the car and turn the key. You need to use your mind, engage it, look around and understand that God's evidence is everywhere. And I no longer need to be ignorant about the very existence of God. I can take the battery, so to speak, plug it into the car and turn the key. I can apply my mind to the evidence and come to the understanding that all things scream of a great designer, a great engineer. And so the man with the cross says that man does not have to live in ignorance. The second thing we looked at is man's condition, one of being incomplete. Is it incomplete? And the man without the cross says it is. By the way he lives his life, he's always looking for something to fill the void in his life. And he goes from one hobby to the next. He goes from one passion to the next. He goes from one drug to the next, or one girl to the next, or one guy to the next. Always searching, always looking, always trying to find the leprechaun at the end of the rainbow, because what's there? The answer is a pot of gold, people. Always searching, never satisfied. But the man with the cross says, you know what? Man can be complete when he comes back to his maker. The third thing we looked at last time is man's condition, one of isolation. The man without the cross says it is. He's isolated. A man has no connection with any other man, so to speak. You live for the moment. And I'm alone in this world. And because of that, that man is searching to always fill his time with someone or some sort of exercise. When I say exercise, I don't necessarily mean working out. The Bible says it's good to work out. Did you know that? First Timothy says it's good to work out. But it just lasts for a little bit, he said, Paul said. But godly exercise is profitable forever. That's a great thing. Man is isolated. He's isolated in his thinking. He's isolated in his existence. You say, Jack, I don't agree with you. But remember last time we argued that we like to be isolated or alone on our own terms. Remember, we pick and choose when we will be alone. And then when we're done with that, what do? We go right back to being with someone. We pick up the phone and we say, what time can you meet me? Why? Because we can only be alone for so long. And the Bible says that we are isolated from God's love and from God's presence in a relationship form or way without coming to the cross. But the man with the cross understands that that isolation brings him to the foot of the cross. That man is alienated from God. Jesus goes to the cross and opens up the way of eternal life for us. Here we go. Are you ready? Are you guys ready?
Yes.
All right. Point number two, jot it down. We begin our study. What's with Jesus Christ and the cross? And the ever-present argument of God is this. What's man's existence for this life? You say, Jack, you got to be kidding me. That is an age-old question. Guess what? It's older than age-old. What is man's purpose for living, we would say? What's man's reason for existence? Man, those of you who have young children, they're going to grow up and they're going to ask you eventually, hey, Dad, why are we here? Why have I been given life? Now, here we go. Number one, is man's existence one of evolution? Church family, I know it's very early, but I want you to be thinking. If you bring everything to the table, you can whittle everything down to this deduction. That either God is God, the God revealed in the Bible is who he says he is, and he explains all that we need to know in this book, or there is no God, everything is of an accident form. Random chance. It's one camp or the other. And you hold a certain worldview this morning. You cannot sit here right now and be neutral in what I'm talking about. You will pick and choose one or the other. And you say, well, Jack, I don't know if that's true or not. Listen, you're living the worldview out in your life that you believe in. Do you believe in evolution? Let's talk about that for a moment. Do you believe in God? Let's talk about that for a moment. Let's first look at the man without the cross in his life. The man without the cross in his life says, yes, man's existence is one of evolution. And so that man would say, yeah, I'm just a random piece of accidents. That's what I am. The whole world is an accident. The universe is an accident. Everything is one colossal explosion in an accident. And now, listen, are you with me? Now, listen. It's all an accident, they say. It's just an accident. It's just a bunch of random chances coming together. It's amazing. By the way, when I was in school, when I was in elementary school or high school, I forget how old the world was or the universe or the creation was. It was printed in the book, though. But now, it's about 150% older now in the new textbooks than it was when I... And you guys, I'm not that old. I haven't aged 150 billion years in 50. I mean, I might look like it, but I don't. Come on now. Why is the age of the universe and the earth constantly changing? Because they're constantly gathering data. And the data that they gather is a very interesting thing. And you'll hear about it, by the way, when Ben Stein speaks on the Expelled movie. Check this out. The astrophysicist who monitors the age of the universe says, by golly, at the age judged by the speed of light and by the expansion of our universe, the universe has to be a certain age. And he declares that age in a textbook. The anthropologist, the evolutionist says, we disagree with our friends across the campus in the astrophysics department, because astrophysics is screaming that the universe and the earth is much younger than the math we need to justify our evolutionary theory. And you guys, I'm not making this up. The evolutionist, the paleontologist is saying, doggone it, you guys in the astrophysics department, can you give us more time? And the astrophysicists are saying, you guys need to change your clock because you've got a need in your belief worldview that is older than what we see the age of the universe being. They're at contradictory positions one with another. Why? Because one is viewing science based upon the natural laws of science, based upon, they may or may not know this, based upon nature's God, who is the creator of natural law. Science agrees with the Bible because God's the author of both. Then you've got a guy on the other side of the campus with an agenda, and his data doesn't jive with, or his, I should say, his presupposition of his desires, they don't jive with the data. So he reads into it numbers. And this is a big problem in the science world versus the, I would say, scientific religious world, is that evolution being a religion.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Romans chapter 1, verse 18 says this. Mark it down well. Romans 1, 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." That word is amazing. The word in Greek means that God, like a dripping fountain or like a dripping hose, God is at this moment and has been bringing down judgment upon a Christ-rejecting world. It's happening now, and it's going to escalate more. Upon men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Church family, the best way to remember that Greek word for suppress the truth in unrighteousness, it's the same word to put a lid on a boiling kettle. You know what happens? Doesn't that lid begin to dance on the pot from the boiling kettle? It begins to relieve itself, right? As the steam and the water flies out. The picture is you holding down the lid on the pot and it's going... And you're holding that pot down and you can't hold it anymore. It's going to go. That's the same word. They're suppressing the truth. It can't mean what I think it means. I don't want it to be what the data says. And they're suppressing the truth. Have you ever had a teacher like that? You ever had a parent like that or a child like that? This is part of human nature when we reject God. And the Bible is warning that there are those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifested to them. That means God's revealing it to them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No person on the planet has an excuse as to why they do not believe in God. They may think they do, but it's very, very riddled with holes. Nor were they thankful. They were without excuse. Verse 21. Because although they knew God, that is, they knew about God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Note the progression. Note the de-evolution, if you would. Professing to be wise, they became fools, exchanging the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Note this. You guys, Mark verse 23, think about the evolutionary argument. They take the glory of God, which is incorruptible, and they exchange it. They make an image of what? Like corruptible man, birds, four-footed beast, and creeping things. Watch me, everybody. Paul just listed evolution, their argument in reverse. I'll say it as we hear it today in books. Creeping things. Things that walk around on the earth, flying things, man. Paul listed it backwards. I think it's awesome. Why? Because without God in your life, you are de-evolving in actuality. You are getting further away from the fact that God created you in his image. That's why our children need to be taught correctly and good science, by the way. They need to have good science. And the knowledge of God, it's amazing. It's awesome. This is very interesting. Listen, a professor, a teacher might be able to tell me how the universe exists. How it exists. He can't tell me how it came into existence. He has to guess. But he's going to tell me how it exists in a molecular way. Okay, fine. A chemist, a researcher, is going to tell me how chemistry works. Thank God. That's how you get medication. That's how you get surgeries. That's how you have a successful operation. Because God has given the knowledge to that physician on how to remove your gallbladder. Thank God for that. Amen? Okay, but check it out. He can tell you how to perform the surgery. He can tell you how the gallbladder functions. A paleontologist can tell us how humanity has existed or how it has gone from one tribal state to the next. Anthropology, no problem. They can tell us how. A scientist, a rocket scientist can speak to us about the laws of physics as it applies to space travel. Fantastic. They tell us how. I'm not interested in how. How I already got. How was how you and I got out of school. We know the how. Do you feel what I'm leading up to? Are you with me? They can't tell me, none of those guys can tell me the why. Why? Why is man created physically the way that he is? Why is a woman created physically the way that she is? That alone, my friends, this is off the record. Male, female, and the evolutionary dynamic, evolutionists confess it's impossible to get a male and female to evolve in tandem, in unison, at the same time, so that at the same second they can procreate to generate this new race after evolution is impossible. Did you know that? It's mathematically impossible. I'm glad that we can travel through space. I want to know why. Why? Why am I alive? Why are you alive? I'm not talking about the how, I'm talking about the why. Evolution cannot answer that. And a man without the cross will say, it doesn't matter. Oh yes, it does matter. You can't explain why you have a soul and a spirit. We can talk about the how of it, the emotions of who you are, your thoughts of eternity, your thoughts, though you may be a staunch atheist, your thoughts still haunt you constantly about is there life after the grave? Guess what, my friend? If you were a mere animal, you would not think those thoughts. Isaiah 40, verse 28 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. What a great God. Ecclesiastes 12, 1. Listen to this. Give this to your teenager. Remember now your creator in the days of your youth. Isn't that awesome? Remember your creator in the days of your youth. By the way, that verse goes on to say, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. You ever been around an old person? They're like, man, come on, let's get the show on the road. I want to get out of here. I want to go see Jesus. Yeah. Young people, man, you know young people? Young people are still in bed. They don't come to first service. They come to second and third service. Second thing, what's man's existence for life? What is this all about? Why is he living? Why? Is man's existence one of elevation, the pursuit? Maybe if I can get on top of the hill and win the game, it's I'm superior to you? Is that it? Because listen, honestly, if evolution's true, then elevation of man's got to be in the factor big time. I'm going to say some stuff, you're not going to like it. Hang on to your seats. Elevation, if I'm an evolutionist, then if Todd is driving a Ferrari or a Porsche or whatever he owns now, I don't know what he's driving today. Evolution says, I want his car. And let's say that I could take Todd in a gun battle or a wrestling match. Come on, let's be honest. Evolution, if I want his Ferrari, can't I just break his neck and take it? Don't you try to impose upon me some moral standard. You can't do that to me. I'm an evolutionist. It's the survival of the fittest. We train children from the beginning that they're nothing but an accident. And then we wonder why they go around killing people. How dare we?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called The Ever-Present Argument of God, Part 2. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Jack Kibbs, and I'm excited that next week we're getting together on Friday night, September 8th, at the Honda Center for Just Church. The event is to gather people who have gone away from us. Maybe they're not fellowshipping anymore. Invite them back, and let's have an evening of worship, the Word of God, and to make a radical recommitment to Christ.
That's next Friday, September 8th, at the Honda Center for Just Church. The event and parking are totally free. Go to JustChurchSoCal.com. That's JustChurchSoCal.com. We all know how tough life can be, so how do we make it better, richer, and filled with more joy? Check out our current featured resource called Knowing God by J.I. Packer. Once you dive into the nature and character of God, you'll begin to feel the freedom that you've longed for. Knowing God explores the profound meaning of the Christian faith and guides you towards a deeper personal relationship with God the Savior. Knowing God by J.I. Packer is yours for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Kibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.